Okay, good evening. The high holiday season is rapidly approaching, and we have been discussing Minhagim, so I figured it would make sense to talk about some of the halachos and Minhagim of Slichos. We're starting Slichos on Motzei Shabbos. Please don't scream, although you feel like, how did we get here already? What happened? But we're beginning Slichos on Motzei Shabbos. I want to just focus a little bit on Slichos. And I have a source sheet here in front of you, which you will hopefully follow along. Now, the Lavush comments, source number one, that you wake up in the early morning and you say Slichos, and you begin Ashrei, which is how you always begin, because Ashrei is praising Hashem, it's a great praise. Then you say Kaddish after Ashrei, because you always say Kaddish after Ashrei. And then you say Slichos and Tachanunim, and then you say Tachanun. Now that's interesting. And Rav Soloveitchik used to make the point, based on the Lavush, that effectively what the Lavush is saying is that the structure of Slichos is modeled after the structure of regular prayer. Right? When I daven Mincha, for example. I start with Ashrei. Then you have a Kaddish. Then you have the real prayer, the Shmona Esrei. And then after the Shmona Esrei, you have the Tachanun. And then you have a Kaddish at the end. And that's exactly what Slichos is modeled after. Right. Now, yes.
Didn't you say once that, I think it was once or twice that you from our show, that there are three losers?
The Lavush is one of them. Yeah, usually the Lavush and the Maharshal, like we don't paskin like them, and the Bach. That doesn't mean that we never paskin like the Lavush, but in this case, you have a Lavush. And Lavush says that our, and this is not really a halachic statement, it's like a structural statement, that the structure of Slichos is modeled after the structure of Tefillah. And that is interesting. Probably the idea is that if we want to be successful, you want to do tshuva. So Rabbeinu Yonah writes that the way to do tshuva, one of the ways, is that you daven extra. The idea of Slichos is not just to add these penitential prayers, but because we are davening extra, this adds additional zechuyos for us. It helps us in doing tshuva. Now, I also developed a theory a number of years ago that whenever we daven, we are supposed to imagine ourselves as being in the presence of God. The Rambam writes that tefillah is lefnei Hashem. The Rambam also writes that tshuva is in the presence of God. So in order to effectively do tshuva, what we do is we daven a lot. And this increased davening that we do resembles regular davening. It's like an extra tefillah that is thrown in. It's almost like the ne'ilah type of idea, like extra prayers helping. And I think this is the idea that the Lavush is getting at. Lev.
But doesn't it say... In Musaf Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Tefillat Tzedakah, and
Tshuva Tefillat Tzedakah is my favorite Sfarah Hagbazera, right?
Doesn't that go against the Rabbeinu Yonah?
Why?
Because I'm saying it's not just
Tefillah. It's Tshuva and Tefillah and Tzedakah.
You're saying it's not just Tefillah. You're saying it's
unique Tshuva. The Tefillah helps trigger our Tshuva. It's necessary to have all of them. They're all connected.
That, but I can also understand.
I don't know. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
So if the goal is to add extra tefillah, how can we have to add more for an extra? So we'd have to leave all of them in our right.
Yeah, so that would be interesting. Again, apparently, you know, the way they instituted it was not to have a full-fledged Shmona Esrei for whatever the reason. I don't know that you're like asking a good question. But what the Lavush is saying is that our Slichos are modeled after Tefillah. Now, this is actually an interesting question Because is Ashrei part of Slichos? Or is Ashrei a, so to speak, a preliminary measure to the Slichos? I found in the new Mishnah Berurahs, in the Dershim Mishnah Berurahs, a machlokes between Rabbi Yoshev and Rabbi Shlomo Zalman about whether you have to say Ashrei at the time of Slichos. Or, let's say I come late, God forbid. I don't know anyone who ever comes late. But you have to say Ashrei before the Slichos. According to the Levush, it's almost like the Ashrei is part of it. It's not just a nice thing to start. It's actually part of the Tefillah. One could argue that that's not correct. Now, it happens that in the Breuers community, they don't begin Slichos with Ashrei. They begin with Adon Olam. They do.
No.
Right? They begin with Adon Olam. Now, if you're starting with Adon Olam, I think the entire Lavush. In other words, the model after, and the Lavush was the rabbi in Frankfurt am Main, no? So that's also interesting, but I don't know. What can we do? Yes, sir.
Could
yes, ma'am.
It could just be, not exactly the placeholder, but something to give a couple of, a very brief couple of moments for latecomers to at least not be late for Slichos, but at least...
Maybe. I mean, actually, my friend Rabbi Danny Rapp always says that the reason why you begin Slichos during Aseres Yimei Tshuva and this time of year is he gives the example of someone who buys his 4-year-old son a sitter. And the sitter they buy a 4-year-old son is like a really, really fat sitter. You know, like the Avodas Yisrael sitter. Like a sitter that has like everything in it. And his friend asks him, you know, why are you buying this big sitter for your kid? He's a 4-year-old. He's just ripping out the pages. So he says, no, that's the point. The point is that he's going to rip out all the pages by wanting the davening to remain. So everything that he'll rip out of this really fat sitter, right, is all the extraneous stuff at the beginning, but at least he'll get the full davening. So similarly, all year long when we daven, we always come late for davening. Now, this time of year, in order to come on time for davening, we start Slichos. So even if you rip off those couple of pages at the beginning, you're still on time. That, his humorous suggestion, I don't know, it's more of a leave it than a take it, but what do you do? Hi, Yitzhak.
Ashrei is almost never followed by Kaddish, just the exception of
it. By Mincha.
But that's the one time but it is.
Our tefillah of a, you know, the shortest tefillah that we have is Mincha, and the Slichos is here to model the tefillah's Mincha. Now, let's just talk about the next source. What's the proper time to say Slichos? So, it's a bit interesting, no? On the Matzah Shabbos, we're going to say Slichos at like 10 to 1 or something. Right? The rest of Slichos, Rav Schechter always says Slichos at Chatzos. Always. But he's super duper religious. Most of us don't always say Slichos at Chatzos. We say Slichos at, before we daven, generally, we say Slichos at some time. When is the best time to say Slichos? So, the practice is that only the first night do we say Slichos at midnight. The reason for that is probably as follows. The Slichos always have a pismon. There's always a paragraph that the Chazan says and then the community repeats. The pisnon is b'motzai menucha kidam nucha tchilam. So if it's supposed to be motzai menucha, it's going to be dover shekarim. We will be lying if we say it in the morning. So therefore, we say this one at night. Now, if that's the case, if you're really worried about dover shekarim, Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach points out, many of the other Slichos end up being dover shekarim also. We say, Shachar Kamti, I get up early in the morning. Right? And if you say Slichos at 9 a.m. before the 10 o'clock Shachars, Shachar Kamti is a little hard to understand. Now, are we worried about dover shekarim or not? So, to be Dover Shkomach Neshem is a very bad thing. Rav Aaron Lichtenstein, Zechron Lerov Recha, we mentioned in the Shiurim in the past, the reason why he would change the Nusach of Nachem on Tisha B'Av, right? Right? When we say Nachem, we speak about the ear, Avela, Chareva, Bezuya, Shomema. And Rav Aaron said, right, others changed the text as well. But Rav Aaron says, you can't not change the text, because it'll be Dover Shgarim. You'll be lying. And when we stand in front of God, we gotta be honest. To lie, right, it's a pasnisht. So, what? So, God will be Mechayim Mason. Right? Not that we do it, God will do it.
We might be mistaken, right? But we wouldn't be lying.
The point is that we try not to lie in the presence of God. This idea of being Dover Shkarim Lefnei Hashem is actually quite bad. So to avoid Dover Shkarim, the Aruch HaShulchan knows, to avoid Dover Shkarim, that's why we do the first Lichas on Motzei Shabbos. Okay, others say that it's not such a problem, since most people do it, or it's supposed to be done at that time, so that's good enough. Hard to know. Now, the proper time for slichas technically is Ashmoras HaBoker, which means early in the morning. Now, this time of year, sunrise this morning was 6:19, I believe, no? Right? So sunrise, I'm pretty confident. Sunrise this morning was 6:19. Okay? So sunrise is 6:19, so Ashmoras HaBoker would be like at 5:45 or something. It's not so crazy.
6:19:12, according to
Bukhari. I was off. Maybe up the hill. I got a couple of extra seconds. I mean, I said Shmoras before 6:19. I hope I didn't miss a second, whatever. But the real proper time is Ashmoras HaBoker. Now, for many people, that's difficult. And midnight is also difficult. So here in Shul, we have 10:30 Ma'ariv, followed by Slichos. Now, this is kind of controversial, because the Mishnah Berurah here in Siman Tav Kuf Samach Hei quotes that before Chatzos, you're never supposed to say Slichos. And you're never supposed to say Yud Gemo Midos, with the exception of on Yom HaKippurim. This is like Kabbalistic heebie-jeebie that, you know, after Chatzos, you could do the Slichas. Before Chatzos, you shouldn't. Effectively, the idea is that saying Slichos could potentially be Mekatrig. It could potentially hurt us. So we don't want to do that before Chatzos when there's a more intense din. That's what the Kabbalah Svarim say. So are you allowed to say early Slichos? Many poskim are very machmir. Don't say any early slichos. It's better to say it in the morning. In fact, Chacham Avadi Yosef, interestingly, has a following suggestion. Chacham Avadi writes in the Chum in Yechavadas that if you can't say slichos at midnight, you can't say slichos before the sun comes up in the morning, you know when you should say slichos? Mincha time. Because mincha is an eis ratzon. Hashem answered Eliyahu at shas ha-mincha. So that's a good time to say slichas according to Chacham Avadia. What we do over here, actually, Rav Moshe writes in the Tshuva, Chelek Beis Simen Kuf Hei, Rav Moshe says you should never say slichas before midnight, unless the entire minyan will disband and you'll never get a minyan again, then it's considered shas hatchat, you do slichas before midnight. Now, the practice developed to do slichas at the 10:30 Ma'ariv. How can we do Ma'ariv at 10:30, not 10? So the answer is, Rav Shlomo Zalman Arbach and others point out that the minig in certain places in Europe was that they would say slichos at the change of the Ashmora. The first Mishnah in Brachos speaks about the Ashmoras. The nights are divided up into three sections. And when those sections change, when the celestial guards change, so at that time, it's also an Eis Ratzon. So at that time, you could say Slichos. That's the idea that's developed. So it happens that the Ashmora changes around 10:40 or so, if you divide the night up this time of year. So when we have 10:30 Ma'ariv, and then you have Slichos afterwards, that ends up being around Ashmora Rishona. Quite honestly, it's better to say Slichos in the morning. Most poskim say it's better to say Sichas in the morning even after sunrise rather than saying it at the 10:30 Ma'ariv. How can we have the 10:30 Ma'ariv? Because the rabbi is a pushover. Because the rabbi said, people say, you know, listen, we can't do it. It's so hard. It's difficult. And we get a very large crowd at the 10:30 Ma'ariv. It's much easier to stay up until 11:15 than to wake up at the ungodly hour of 5:30 a.m. or something, so that we're 6 or even 7, right? Yeah. If you're a teenager, it's easier to say Slichas at midnight than it is at 9 a.m. Teenagers have I have a bunch of them at home, so I can say this from first-hand experience, but that's the basic idea. Yes?
Two questions. First, would they say that's better to say it say Slichas without the minyan at minyan in the day than to say with minyan after the say with minyan?
Again, Slichas really should be done with the minyan. If you say Slichas without a minyan, you shouldn't say the Yud Gimel Midos, unless you lane them. If you lane them, then it's okay. But really, you shouldn't say Slichas without a minyan. Yeah. So it's probably better to say it with a minyan. And without, correct.
Does that mean women should hightail it to the 10:30? Yeah.
Women can come to a minyan to say Slichas, if possible. Again, the idea is, I think so, if you want to say Slichas, I happen to like Slichos in terms of getting me into the high holiday spirit. I find the tefillos somewhat moving, but that's the basic idea. Hi, Yitzchak, yeah.
You were saying the watches are heavenly watches.
Yeah.
It's
a machlokes in the Gemara what the watches are. Okay, fine. Now, I want to skip the next two sections. The idea that the chazan should daven all day is probably connected to this idea that we said before from the Levush, that Slichos is like an extension of the tefillah. The way you show it's an extension for the tefillah is that you have the same chazan for everything. There's also discussion about whether you're allowed to wear the talis at Slichos, or whether there's going to be a problem of making an unnecessary bracha, or not making a bracha when you should make a bracha. That's already the next source. I should say it's more about not making a bracha, and potentially you should make a bracha. The discussion about Birchas HaTorah is interesting. Do you have to recite the Torah bracha before you say Slichos? So this is actually a discussion. The Levush says that you should say Birchas HaTorah before you say Slichos. It's two opinions here in Shulchan Aruch, in Simen Mem Vav, about whether you're allowed to read Psukim Der Tachanunim before Birchas HaTorah. Right? In other words, Birchas HaTorah is a bracha they make on learning Torah. Slichos is not really learning Torah. Slichos is using psukim to pray to God. It's not really studying Torah. So the question about whether you have to recite Birchas HaTorah before Slichos actually connects to the nature of Birchas HaTorah. There are three ways to conceptualize the Torah brachas. Either it's a Birchas HaMitzvah, just like before I do any mitzvah, before I shake a lulav, before I light Chanukah candles, before I do any mitzvah, I recite a bracha. So Birchas HaTorah is a bracha on a mitzvah. Alternatively, Birchas HaTorah is a bracha of Shavach V'Hoda'ah, that I thank God that there's a wonderful institution called Torah. It's like the same discussion you have with a bracha on a marriage, on a wedding, no? Is a Birchas Shavach V'Hoda'ah, you're thanking God for the institution of marriage. If that's the case, anyone can make the bracha. Or is it a Birchas HaMitzvah? Is it that that I am making a bracha before I do the mitzvah? If that's the case, the chosen should make the bracha, not the rabbi. No? Or if the rabbi makes a bracha, he's being motzi the chosen. Right? So then, there's a discussion about many brachas. So there's a Birchas Shavach V'Hoda'ah, or a Birchas HaMitzvah. This is a very common discussion that's found with respect to many different brachos. Birchas HaTorah. What?
Isn't the clue
of Shekin Shamet whether you say? So, Shekin Shamet Tosavetivanu, yeah. But we also have Asher Bachar Bonu Mikol HaAmim. Right? We have two different brachos, right? One could maybe split and say the bracha of Asher Kedshanu and Baharevna, That's a bracha of a mitzvah. Maybe the bracha of Asher Bachar Banu is a bracha of Shevach V'Hodah. Thanking God that He chose us and gave us this amazing thing called Torah. There's, by the way, a third conceptual possibility that the stipler develops, that the Birchas HaTorah is actually a Birchas HaNehenen. Just like when I eat an apple, and I like the taste of the apple, it's mamish geshmak, no? A good apple. You make a bracha. Thank you, Hashem, for giving me this wonderful tasting apple. So Torah is enjoyable, no? If Torah wouldn't be enjoyable, I'd be out of a job. Right? I love what I do. No? And that's the idea. Torah is enjoyable. So maybe the Birchas HaTorah is a Birchas HaNehenen. That's already too fancy, too razzle-dazzle. The two standard explanations, there might be a dispute between the Rambam and the Ramban, whether Birchas HaTorah is a Birchas Sherech Vodah, Birchas HaMitzvah. But this might have to do with whether you have to recite Birchas HaTorah before Slichos. You see, when I say slichos, I'm not really learning. If it's a bracha on the mitzvah of learning Torah, you're not learning. However, if it's a bracha of the bracha of Shevach V'Hodah, I thank God for what Reb Chaim used to call the chafza of Torah, for the object of Torah. Right? So whenever I'm in contact with the object of Torah, even if I'm not studying it, but the object is here, I can make the bracha. Right? So maybe that's the basis behind these two explanations, the two opinions, whether you have to say Birchas HaTorah. There's a big discussion about if everyone says Birchas HaTorah before Slichos, how can you have a chazan go up and make a Birchas HaTorah at the beginning of davening? That's already an interesting question. So some suggest, and there's indications of this from Tshuvas Rashi and Tshuva in the Mishnas Yankiv, that maybe there are two dimensions of a Torah study, of Birchas HaTorah. This is the individual. We all have our own individual obligations to study Torah. But there's also what we're doing now, which is a communal obligation. Like Kriyas HaTorah in Shul. Right? Were you ever bothered by that question? I made Birchas HaTorah in the morning. How come I recite Birchas HaTorah again when I get an Aliyah? The answer is that it's two separate obligations. There's the individual's obligation to study Torah and the community obligation. So maybe the idea of the chazan repeating Birchas HaTorah is connected to the fact that, okay, I said Birchas HaTorah before Slichas, but that was Ezra Schwartz saying Birchas HaTorah before Slichas. Now the community, right? Oh, so that's already, now that of course would create a certain interesting thing, because then we have two different communal Birchas HaTorahs. You have the Chazan at davening, and then you also have the Birchas HaTorah when you get an Aliyah. So that's already interesting, but certainly it's worth thinking about. Shavuos morning, whether you say Birchas HaTorah depends on a similar question as to whether Birchas HaTorah is an obligation day in, day out, like Birchas Sheva Hoda'ah. If it's a bracha on the mitzvah, so then the mitzvah is continued throughout the night. So that also might depend on the question, although there are other ways of analyzing on whether or not we recite Birchas HaTorah Shavuos morning, but at least for our purposes, we gave one explanation. Mr. Yitzchak.
How do you go to sleep and wake up at midnight? Do you wake up at midnight? Do you say
Birchas HaTorah? For sure, why not? Right? If I wake up to learn, I say Birchas HaTorah before I learn. I usually end up going to sleep around midnight rather than waking up at midnight, but these things can happen.
I mean, they brought down the people used to wake up at midnight every night and say Tikkun Chatzos.
Yeah, you have to say Birchas HaTorah before Tikkun Chatzos, right?
And just before or after Tikkun Chatzos.
What? Tikkun Chatzos, what? Slichos would be, which one would you do first? Slichos or Tikkun Chatzos? No idea, no one ever asked me that shayla until now. We don't have that many people in the Hates as far as I know who say Tikkun Chatzos. Don't know. Okay, now.
I have to admit I'm one of those people who don't.
Oh. Okay, now. Another issue that comes up in Slichos is that many of the Slichos that we recite present a theological problem. Machnisei rachamim, machnisu rachameinu. Right? What do you mean? I'm praying to angels to allow our prayers to enter towards God? Rambam tells us in the fifth rule, in the fifth of the Ikarei HaEmuna, in the Parish of Mishnah Sanhedrin, that we only pray to God. We don't pray to anyone else. You see, Catholics have on their flag, they have keys. The assumption is that the Pope represents the keys to get us, or to get them, to allow their prayers to go up to heaven. But Judaism, Rav Soloveitchik used to comment, is very democratic. Every single person, from the biggest schlepper to the biggest gadol, everybody has equal access to God. We can all pray to God and our prayers will be answered. It doesn't matter how much of a schlepper you are. It doesn't matter how big your bank account is. It doesn't matter how many sins you've done. Right? Judaism is democratic. Everyone can connect to God. And therefore, Rav Soloveitchik understood the Rambam is so opposed to having us pray to anyone else because that would indicate that you need help. And you know what? You don't need help. No one needs help. We can all connect to God on our own.
So what is a
Chassidish Rebbe? So what's a Chassidish Rebbe? So a Chassidish Rebbe is an interesting question. The Chassidish Rebbe is probably not a way of saying that I can't connect to God, but sometimes for really big things, when you pray for me, it helps. No, the Gemara writes in Bava Kamma, Kol Hatzarech, Kol Ha Mispalo Ba'ad Chaveira, V'hu Tzarech La'oso Dovar, Hu Nenetchila. If I daven for you, and I myself need the same thing, so that helps the prayers get answered. So maybe the idea of Chassidish Rebbe is something along those lines. Maybe the idea of Chassidish Rebbe is somehow that having more people pray to God helps more. But it's not praying to any entity other than God. We don't pray to the Rebbe. The Rebbe also prays to God.
Why have to go to the Ohel?
What?
Why do I have to go to the Ohel?
You don't have to. I give you permission. You don't have to go to the Ohel. You can pray anywhere in Crown Heights.
Tell that to Rabbi Kirshenbaum.
What?
Tell that to Rabbi Kirshenbaum.
What is it?
Of course you get it. I mean, you really don't. Again, I think those people who believe in going to the Ohel, that's actually a very strong question. Like praying at graves of tzaddikim seems to go against this idea of the Rambam and the democratic nature of prayer. Rav Soloveitchik was bothered by this question. Some say, oh, well, we do have certain Talmudic basis to go to pray at graves. The Gemara says that Kalev, right? Kalev went to Ma'aras HaMachpelah to pray, right? When he was sent as one of the Meraglim, and that's why he was successful, in the sense of he didn't succumb, right? So praying at graves does have some source from those Gemaras, but praying at graves, you're praying to Hashem at graves. You're not allowed to, God forbid, pray to the dead. The dead guy is dead. He or she will not help you. They are dead. If you want to say it in Yiddish, Zeizenin Gestorben. So, they are dead.
So what's this Melet Yosher business? I'm always hearing.
So Melet Yosher is a very good question. Right? Again, Melet Yosher comes up in davening. We say Be'en Melet Yosher. That there is no one who can do it, but we have a big problem over here. The problem is that although the Rambam writes that we are not allowed to pray to anyone besides God, push comes to shove, Jewish history has ruled that people do this. And people all the time say Machnisei Rachamim, and there was a huge fight about reciting Machnisei Rachamim. Many Gedolim were opposed to it, but they didn't want to change the community practice. The Chassam Sofer writes in the Tshuva that what he did is he would say a long Tachanun, and he himself would never say Machnisei Rachamim, but he didn't stop the community for doing it. Right, to daven also to angels is a big problem. To say Baruchuni L'Shalom, what do you mean? The angels are giving me a bracha on Friday night. Right? Hashem gives brachas. Angels don't really give brachas. When the Kohanim give a bracha, the Gemara Menachah says the Kohanim are like a conduit to allow Hashem to give a bracha to the Jewish people. It is very problematic how these things ended up. And I don't know the real answer. Mark Shapiro, in his books, works very hard to show that many Rishonim disagree with the Rambam and the 13 principles. And we see from life, on some level, that at least saying Machnisei Rachamim was accepted. Now, I should note that there were some who changed the text in Machnisei Rachamim. Some said, instead of Machnisei Rachamim, Hachnisu Rachameinu, they say Machnisei Rachamim, Yachnisu. In other words, I'm praying to Hashem that Hashem should allow the angels to allow my prayers to get up there. But I'm addressing God, and I'm saying, God, allow those angels not to interrupt my prayers. Why would I do that? What?
Why do it in the first place? I can see, you can make the case of, hey, I'm just like, I'm kind of nothing, and I'm going to ask my big brother to put in a good word for me, because my big brother is more solid and more experienced and has God's ear, maybe. Yeah, I can see that, but this angel stuff.
But that itself is very problematic. Remember, Avodah Zarah began not by people ascribing real power to the sun and the moon, but using the sun and the moon as an intermediary to get to God. And that's why the Rambam is so opposed to all of these intermediaries. Now, I don't know exactly the answer, but the answer probably is that we are not beseeching anything from the angels. Although, in certain of the Slichos, Malachei Rachamim, Shoresei Elyon, Chaluna Pineyem, B'meitav Yigoyon. Hey, that's a real problem. You know, in Yeshiva and YU, we don't say that line. We take it out. We don't say it. It is very problematic. Nonetheless, somehow, the practice developed that we say it, but we don't actually pray to the angels. We are saying the angels should pray to God for us. We, in all of these statements that are problematic, we are mentioning that God is the ultimate address of the prayers, and maybe that's the defense. I give you a few sources. The Shibbolei Haleket argues that maybe there's a Gemara in Sanhedrin that says that everyone, that you should always ask that everyone should help your prayers out. And Rashi understands that what that means is that the angel should help you. So maybe that's the source. But that's against the Rambam. It really is against the Rambam. It's hard to know exactly why Klal Yisrael does this. And this is a great mystery. But we do it.
What?
Right. Well, I don't know if we're praying to Afberi or to Afri Utas. What we're saying is there is a sar of Matar called Afri, and we're praying to God to bring the rain through that thing. But yes, I mean, there are other problems in terms of praying Midas HaRachamim Aleinu Hisgalgali. Are you allowed to pray to specific attributes of God? Can you only pray to God's essence? There are real problems, but we're just highlighting the thing. We're not really getting into the full discussion. There's a huge discussion about this in a number of the journals, in the Ar Yisrael Journal. There's some articles about this. There's a whole article in the Ar Yisrael Journal about the entire polemos, the entire debate over saying Machnisei Rachamim. The fellow who wrote that article, Shlomo Shprecha, argues that the debate became much more intense at the time of the reform. And he tries to argue why that is. I don't know. It's a Bar Yitzchak comment, and then we got a break.
Three questions. in a way, is that, there's the Gemara, I think also in September where Yeshua bows to the...
So Yehoshua bowing to the model, and Yehoshua Parakei says a model, he bows to him. So that actually might be the type of source that could help. The Malbim, in his commentary on Nach, there at the beginning of Sefer Shmuel, speaks about that there are two dimensions of prayer. Again, but it's sort of like taking a story that we don't understand as a basis for a practice is difficult because we don't understand that story either.
The Gemara there seems to suggest that as long as you're addressing it, that's that Rabbi Dishon away from
Hisgabdu, Mechubadim, all those Gemaras at the beginning of Brachos, etc. This is a massive literature that I'm trying to condense into like 5 minutes.
Number two, could it be the possibility that we're all Chayav and Avodah Zarah, that because of the
Dami, we hope not.
Is that something we have to be worried about?
Don't know. I mean, I myself don't say these things. I think it's a good idea not to say them so that you won't be an Ovid Avodah Zarah, according to any opinion. But, okay, ladies and gentlemen, have a good night.